Isaiah 51, verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. I think we'll stop there. That'll probably be more than we'll be able to cover. But the situation is, Israel is in captivity. And you know, it looks like there's just a few of them. And looks like just a few of them are going to be brought out. A multitude are going to stay in Babylon. Some have died through the 70 years. But you know, I believe that's good for them. A great encouragement to them is what these verses here, really this whole chapter, but in my thinking, especially the first two or three verses. But he says this, you know, hearken unto me, listen to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. So, first of all, I'd like to say this, that saved people. This is not to lost people. Lost people don't seek the Lord. Lost people are not following after righteousness. Lost people are not looking to be saved, to be made right with God. But it's a work of God. And I'll read a little scripture to go with that. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 11. What is man's condition? Well, by this word of God, he says to us in Romans chapter 3, verse 11, there is none that understand, there is none that seeketh after God. So now there is man in his natural condition. And that's not a few people. That's not the worst people, the worst and the most ungodly. That's all of mankind. All of mankind is in a condition that he does not naturally seek after God, that he doesn't seek after righteousness. So what is Isaiah saying here? Hearken, listen unto me. You that follow after righteousness, why would a man follow after righteousness? Why would someone seek after the Lord? Only because of this, that God sought you first, that God loved you first, that God did a work in you first. You know, I hear a whole lot of stuff today that man can choose, and man's a free moral agent, but there is no Bible to back that up. There is no Bible that'll back up free will. You have never, ever in your life, I'd like for you to just ponder on that, you've never made a decision in your life that was not influenced by what happened before. Never out of you, without outside influence, have you ever made a choice? Now, I'm not saying that you don't make choices. We all make choices. We make choices all the time. But man, by his natural nature, does not choose God. Man does not seek after God. That is against the nature of man. That is against the nature of fallen man. But what wonderful words are here. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness. You that seek the Lord. So that word there, to follow and to seek, it means to pursue, to desire righteousness, to run after, to strive. You know, I'll just say this. Before God did a work in my heart, I wasn't striving after God. I wasn't seeking God. I wasn't pursuing God. You mentioned God to me, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to get away from that. You mentioned church to me and preaching and the Bible and God's people, I wanted away from that. That's my nature. That's my nature naturally. That was your nature naturally. And you didn't one day decide that you would choose God. God did a work in you and on you and in your heart and changed your desire and brought about a fear of death, brought about a dread of hell, brought about a revelation of your eternal condition, where you were headed. And friend, all of that work of God brought you to a place that you wanted to be saved, you wanted to seek God, you desired a Savior, and it was all because of the previous work of God. So they're in captivity. And the Lord said, "Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness. You that seek the Lord, look unto the rock from which you are hewn, and unto the hole of the pit which you are digged." You know, we mentioned this verse Sunday night, and it just kept coming back and kept coming back. But, you know, when we mentioned that verse to you, what was the context of that? It was that monument set up in the middle of the river that they had passed through death. There they were in death. There they were in a place that without the power, without the working of God, they would have all died right there in the middle of Jordan. That there was no way that man could go into the promises of God without a work of God. So here in this context, if you're seeking after God, if you're desiring righteousness, maybe if you were in captivity, know this. I say this to you that could be in captivity tonight under the devil. You that could be in captivity tonight under sin. You that could be in captivity tonight that are lost and undone. Know this. Thank God there's hope. There's a hope for you. And you know something? It's not in you. The hope is not in you. Well, preacher, I'm going to try to do better. You'll never do better. You'll never have the desire to do better. You may think about that for 1 minute, and the next moment your mind will be changed, and you'll revert right back to what you were before. I'll tell you, it'll take a work of God in the heart of man. It'll take God doing a work in each and every one of us, or we will always be going away from God instead of striving and seeking after God. But there's great hope here. Great hope. Look unto the rock from which you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him alone and increased him. So I want us to think about Abraham, and I want you to think about, this is what the Bible said, look unto the rock from which you are hewn, unto the hole of the pit which you are digged. So he says that we were hewn and we were digged out of Abraham and out of Sarah. So now you think about a rock. Think about a rock. Is a rock movable? I'm talking about with words. I'm talking about, is a rock able to be influenced by words? Can hands go on a rock and squeeze it and make it to where it wants to be lovable? Can a rock be made anything like that? Isn't it so much an inanimate object? Isn't it so much? I believe this is, no, without a doubt, this must be a part of it. Isn't a rock one of the hardest things? When you think about a rock, don't you think about something that is hard to bust? Something that is impenetrable? I'll tell you that was what you were. That's what I was. That was the condition Abraham was. But God said, I hewed him out. I dug him out. I brought him out of there. I'm the one.
This is a picture of a quarry and a quarrier. I'm talking about someone who is digging, someone who is boring, someone who is cutting, someone who is bringing out of something. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to bring a church. He's going to bring the children of Israel. He's going to bring the church out of a rock. Is a rock living? Scientists in a way might be able to explain that, and they might be able to say that it is somehow. But I'm saying from a natural thinking, is a rock alive? A rock's not alive, is it? But he is going to bring out of a rock a church. He's going to bring out of a man named Abraham and a lady named Sarah. He's going to bring them out. So I want you to think about the condition. Did Abraham bring himself out of the quarry? Did Sarah bring herself out of the pit? You see how hopeless that man is to be saved. Man is like a rock in a quarry. Man, when you go out of Marshall or coming into Marshall, look over there. Look over there at the quarry. Look over there at McCrary's and look at what's going on there. There's equipment set up there and there's dynamite there and there's drills and there's boring machines. And friend, they are bringing that rock out. I tell you, it took a work of God Almighty to bring a church out of something that was dead. It took a work of God Almighty to bring a heart, a friend that was hard as stone, and a heart, a stony heart. It took a work of God to bring that about. And let me tell you, friend, that every bit of the church that there is today came out of Sarah and Abraham. How likely is it that Abraham, a rock, how can a rock come up out of the quarry? There's no way. It's impossible. That's the condition of man without God. That's man's condition. Now you that seek God, you that seek God, I want you to look where you came from. You that are seeking after God, you that have a desire, you that have a longing, you that are striving to live for God, I want you to know this. I want you to know where you came from. I want you to know, and I want you to be humbled by the fact that it was a work of God and God alone that you're saved. And it is. It's a work of God and God alone. And the Lord is trying to get Israel to the place that they would realize and be humbled and realize that the only reason that they are a church and they are a people and they are a nation and they do seek God, it's because of a work of God Almighty on something that was absolutely dead. And that's what the book says. Hearken unto me, you that follow after righteousness. You that seek the Lord, look unto the rock from which you are hewn. The rock which you were cut out of. Look back to the pit. Look back to the pit. You know something? We all come out of the same pit. Every one of us come out of the same pit. We were all in the same, we were everyone come out of the same quarry. We're all of mankind. When Adam fell, the whole race fell. Every man, every color, every tribe, every nation, it doesn't matter the color, it doesn't matter the tribe, it doesn't matter the hemisphere, it doesn't matter on which side of the equator you are, a friend, on which part of the world you're living in, every man that has ever been saved all came out of the same quarry. Now, are we dependent upon God? There's no way that rock's coming out of the quarry by itself. There's no way. That rock is not coming out.
neither is man going to be saved outside of a work of God. You're not going to save yourself. And you're not going to make some free will choice. You're not free. Man has never, ever, ever, ever been free from God. You have never been free from God. You have never been free from the foundation of the world. There has never been a man that was free from God. Not even Adam. You might say, well, Adam was free. Adam may have been free to make a choice, but Adam was not free from God. He wasn't. The devil wasn't free from God. Nobody has ever been free from God, and nobody in this generation today is free from God. The reason that there's a church is because of the work of God. The reason that Abraham came. Now, I want you to listen to this. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah. Look unto them. Look unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone. Do you see where the church started? One man. One man. I called him alone. One man. That's what he's telling us to do. I want you to look back where you came from. I want you to look back. You know, if you're saved tonight, it's because of faith. You're saved by grace through faith. Isn't that right? Who gave you the faith? It was a gift of God. Who convinced Abraham? Well, it must have been his daddy was praying for him. Must have been his mother praying for him. Must have been some of those people that were praying for him. I'll tell you what convinced Abraham. The Word of God came, and the Word of God came with faith, and God convinced Abraham. And God hewed Abraham out of the quarry. Abraham and Sarah were brought as a rock out of the rock. Look back to the rock from which you were hewn. Look back to the hole of the pit which you were digged. God was doing the hewing. God was doing the digging. God was doing the boring. God was doing the drawing. God was the one that brought Abraham out. And let me tell you this, friend, that God brought one man. God started this with one man. You might say, well, what about this man and that man and the other man? I'm telling you that God is telling us in Isaiah to look back to Abraham. Friend, are you looking in the New Testament? What was all of their trust in? What was the trust of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, that they were related to Abraham? That was their trust, was it not? We're children of Abraham. Well, Abraham was called by God, one man. He started with one man. I say this today, are we more than one? Yes, we are. Thank God we're more than one. But know this, that if God can bring a church out of one man, can God work in you? Can God work in me? Is God still in the reviving business? Is God in the resurrection business? Is God in the business of bringing life out of the dead? I tell you, that is the business that God is in. He is in a business. Friend, the stone is dead. The stone is hard. The pit, the quarry, it cannot produce and lift a stone out. God hewed it out. God dug it out. And friend, the only reason that Abraham came to God was because God came to him. That applies to me. He's telling us to look to Abraham. Look how Abraham began. That's how you begin. You come from Abraham? Yes. How did Abraham come into being? Well, what condition was Abraham in? This is what he says in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24 says this, verse 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Abraham was an idol worshiper. Preacher, it must have been somebody in his family prayed for him. God called him alone. God called him alone. Don't be giving somebody else the credit for the work of God. The reason you're saved is because of the work of God. The reason anybody's saved is because of the work of God. And friend, Abraham was called alone. Abraham was an idol worshiper, just like his daddy, just like the rest of his family. Friend, he was an idol worshiper. What condition was he in? Well, preacher, you're saying that he didn't have a choice to make. Well, I'm saying this. I'm saying that God said, look unto that rock from which you were hewn. Look unto the hole of the pit which you were digged. Look unto Abraham your father and to Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and I blessed him and I increased him. It was God who did that work. It was the work of Almighty God. Richard, I don't believe that. Well, let's do a little looking. Let's do a little searching. Let's do a little searching. And let's go over to Romans chapter 3 to start with. Let's look in Romans chapter number 4. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 4. Let's look there for just a minute. Romans chapter 4. Verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. We all came from Abraham. That's where we came from. We came from Abraham. God called him alone, looked to the hole of the pit, look to the rock, to the hole of the pit from whence you were digged. Go on with me. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee. Who made him? God made him. I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. Listen, who quickeneth the dead. Was Abraham dead? He was just like a rock. He was just like a rock. He was dead. Preacher, he's not dead. Who quickeneth the dead, listen now, and calleth those things which be, quicken and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So how does God look at it? God looks at the end from the beginning. Abraham's a dead man. Let me read one more verse and then we'll think about this. And being not, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. There's the word of God. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. You see that? Paul said Abraham said himself that he was dead. And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Look at the pit, folks. Not being ugly, but look at the pit. The pit was dead too. The rock was dead and the pit was dead. Abraham was dead and Sarah was dead. Abraham had no life in him, and Abraham, Almighty God called him. He was like a rock. And Sarah, I'd like to look unto the rock from which you were hewn, under the pit from which you were digged. Can you see this, friend? How that the only hope that there is that a man would seek after God is that God would dig him out of that dead state, out of that quarry, and bring him out of that. And God is bringing Abraham out, who is a dead man. Oh, preacher, that don't mean that he was dead in sin. Well, I tell you this, that the only way that you and I got in is through his seed. Not Isaac. Jesus Christ. Brad was saying something in the prayer room about the son of David.
Well, I tell you what, Jesus was the son of David, but we're going to go right on back, and he was the son of Isaac, and he was the son of Abraham. And friend, the only way that you and I could be saved is through the grace of God that comes through, as our brother said, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that has to come through this dead man. Jesus Christ has to come through this dead man. It must be a work of God that a dead man could have a boy. It must be a work of God that a dead woman could have a child. It must be a work of God that somebody that is dead could be brought into the family of God. It must be a miraculous, amazing work of God that a dead man named Abraham would have a son. It's an amazing work of God that you and I are saved. We came into the family of God very much like Abraham did. God called us. We were dead. Let's go farther. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now you say, Abraham had faith. That's the reason God did all of this. You seem to keep forgetting that it was God who gifted him with faith. You seem to forget that it was God. I say this, folks. It was God who brought me under conviction. It was God who let me know I was dying and going to hell. It was God who brought me to the place that bring me to a place of fear. But it was also God, through the work of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the gospel, drew me to a place of salvation and let me call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it wasn't my free will. No, ma'am, and no, sir. Friend, everything that morning that I chose, that morning that I moved, that moment that I came to the altar, it was all influenced by the work of God that had happened previously. Free will means without outside influence. Trace your life back through this day, through this week, and show me something that you have chosen to do that was not influenced by something on the outside. You can't do it. It is logically impossible. Salvation outside of the work of God is impossible. Listen to Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, spring there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Where did all of these people come from? They come from one man. They come from one man who was living in idolatry, who was worshiping stocks and stones, who was worshiping maybe the sun, maybe a tree stump, maybe something he had made out of gold or silver, or maybe some other stone or some rock that he had set out. God called that man out of his idolatry and out of his deadness, and friend, he made his seed, which you and I are if we're saved, he made his seed innumerable. So, we ought to look back where we came from. Preacher, it looks hopeless. Could it be any more hopeless than Abraham being one man in idolatry that God would call him and build a church on that fella? He said, I'll bless. I'll increase. I called him. Now, by Paul's words in Hebrews, therefore sprang there even of one. We all came from one, folks. We all came from Abraham. We're all children of Abraham. We're all children of... And him as good as dead. Man alive, you talk about a dependence. Let me ask you, how dependent are we on God? How dependent is a rock coming out of the quarry on somebody besides the rock? How dependent is mankind of coming out of sin if not for God? How dependent are we on the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of God the Father, the work of God the Son? How dependent are we upon the work of the Trinity in bringing our families and our people and even me, I have to look back, hearken unto me, you that seek after God. You know why I'm seeking after God? Because God sought me out. Thank God He sought me. I wasn't looking for Him. I wasn't desiring Him. You say, well, I was just a little fella. You wasn't desiring Him either. He brought about circumstances and brought about things in your life that made you, brought fear upon you, brought you to a place that you were fearful of dying and going to hell. And Almighty God, through His sweet Spirit, called you to come to Jesus. Thank God for the salvation. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Who's doing this? Who's doing this work? Who's increasing? Who's building? Oh, it's God. It's God. Read with me. Read with me another time if you would, please. Read with me in Matthew chapter number 3. And again, I'd like to remind you of the setting. John the Baptist is down at Jordan baptizing. John the Baptist is at Jordan baptizing, and the Word of God said Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan went out to him into Jordan confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said, O generations of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say with yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. God queried Abraham out. God lifted Abraham out. God called Abraham alone. Now let's think about this text for just a minute. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees have come in verse number 7. So John, as John is there baptizing, and in the book of John, the Bible says that he was baptizing at Bethabara, the house of fords, or the house of crossing. Where is he baptizing? I believe that he's baptizing at the very place that the children of Israel crossed Jordan. I believe he's baptizing at the very place where Joshua set up that memorial in the middle of the river. And that memorial in the middle of the river represented man in his dead state. That memorial sitting up there with the 12 stones, John the Baptist says, God is able to raise up children unto Abraham out of these stones. I tell you, friend, if Abraham was quarried out by the Word of God, don't you know this, that God is able to bring you and I out of a dead state and raise up children unto Abraham, our friend, out of the dead, out of the midst of Jordan. And if you don't agree with that interpretation, if you don't think that's what it was, then it must be this. It must be, I believe it's people any way you want to look at it. Friend, those 12 stones represented all of Israel at that time. And friend, I want you to know this, the Word of God, friend, wasn't going out to anybody else at that moment, but here was a multitude of people. And friend, they had come out from all of Judea and Jerusalem, and John says, God's able to these stones. Here's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know what they think? They're the select. They're the religious. They're the ones that have the law. There's the one that have the books of Moses. But know this, ladies and gentlemen, God is able to these people that don't know anything. God is able to have with these people that don't know anything about God. God, you think Abraham knew anything about God? He was an idol worshiper. He knew absolutely nothing about God. And these people here, they may not be Pharisees or Sadducees. I believe he distinguishes the rest of the people from them. But John says, God is able out of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. I tell you, thank God there's no limitation on the workings of God Almighty. I just say this, thank God He's still working.
Abel of these stones, these dead people, if you want to call them people, if they were stones and they were the 12 stones in the middle of Jordan, they represented people. He's able of these stones, this representation of people, He's able to raise up children unto Abraham out of them. Friend, out of idolatry, out of heathenism, out of knowing nothing, out of hard-heartedness, out of rejection. Our friend, God's doing a work, I tell you, through and by the work of the Holy Spirit, God is able to raise the dead. He called Abraham. People don't realize what a condition Abraham was in. Well, man, Abraham, you talk about a man of faith. It was a gift of God that he had faith. He was an idolater before God called him. God hewed him out of the rock. God hewed him out of the pit. God brought him out of the pit. He didn't come out on his own. Sarah didn't come out on their own. And God come by and reassured him. A friend, after 25 or 23 or 4 years had passed, God come by and reassured him again. And he said, in the time of life, your wife is going to have a son and you're going to call his name Isaac. It was a work of God because they were both dead. Listen, Ishmael is no work of God. Ishmael is a work of the flesh. Isaac is a work of God. Isaac is a son of promise. Isaac is a work of God Almighty. God said, I'll increase him. I'll bless you. I'll multiply you. What kind of a condition is man in? Well, I believe here's a good condition, a good description of man's condition. In Jeremiah chapter number 17, the Bible said this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and I try the reins to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You think man needs a new heart? I ask you this, did Abraham need a new heart? Did he work to get a new heart? Or was it a gift of God? Listen to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Then we're going to look in Jeremiah 24. But Ezekiel 36 to start with. Verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. That sounds like a picture of Abraham. That sounds exactly like the way God worked on Abraham. I will take you from among... His family was heathen. His uncle, his daddy, his grandpa, they were all heathens. They were all idol worshipers. And God called him out. I will take you from among the heathen. Come on, Abraham, if you want to. No, I tell you, God called and he responded. God said to Abraham, Abraham, come ye out from among your kindred and come into a land that I'll show you of. And he obeyed God. How about Lazarus? Did Lazarus make a choice? Did Lazarus make a choice? You got a dead man who his sister said by now he stinketh. God gives a word. Lazarus, come forth. What is that? Is that a Lazarus, if you want to, come on out?
Who's hearing this? A man who has been dead for 4 days, the power of God called and raised a man, brought a man to life who was dead, that he might be able to respond to the Word of God. Don't twist the Word of God. He had to be made alive to come out. It was a command. Lazarus, come forth. That's a command. When you say to your 3-year-old or your 5-year-old, son, get over here. Does that mean if you want to, if you make a decision to, you can come over here? I believe it means if you don't come over here, I'm going to come over there and get you, and I'm going to jerk a knot in your hind end because I gave you a command. God gave a dead man a command, and a dead man come out of the tomb. Thank God for the work of God. He did the same thing to Abraham. Ezekiel 36:24, I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out from your countries, bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. I want to ask you, friend, where was there anything done by anybody in this scripture besides God? He did it all. Listen, I didn't get saved against my will. I didn't make my way to the altar against my will. God did a work in my heart. All that work that He had done in the previous 3 to 6 weeks before the morning I got saved, every bit of that work that God was doing up to that, I brought me to the place that I wanted to be saved. And by the drawing of the Holy Spirit, I came to Him. Folks, it's a work of God. And if God can take one man in Genesis chapter 12, and we can read about a church, a friend that John saw with a number without number. If He can do that, let me tell you, He's not limited today in working in you and I, through you and I, through the Word of God, through the Gospel, through the Holy Spirit who dwells with you, in you. We should be helpful, a friend, today, of the goodness of God, the power of God. If God can do this with one man who was an idolater, and one man who was like a rock, and one woman who was like a pin, and friend, raise them being as good as dead, and bring Isaac out of them. Know this today, He's still working today and still well able. Thank God, it's His work. Listen, we need to every now and then look back where we came from. I didn't get here on my own. This was a work of God. Look in Jeremiah with me, and we'll hush here in just a minute. Jeremiah chapter 24, I believe. So they're in captivity. Jeremiah 24, they're in captivity. You'll see this, verse 5, latter part of the verse. Them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place unto the land of the Chaldeans for their good. What's God doing? God's doing a work. God's doing a work in them. Though they're in captivity, God's doing a work. Read with me, please. Verse 6, 24:6. For I set my eyes upon them for good. I will bring, you know something? You see a daddy set his eyes on his young'un. If that young'un ever sees that, he knows there's trouble, doesn't he? God set His eyes on these people for good. For good. Listen. I will set my eyes upon them for good. I will bring them again to this land.
I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Could I ask you this? Friend, why did they come? Because they were good? Why did they come? Did they not come? Would you please look through verse 6 and verse 7 and see how many times God said, I will? Would you look in those verses and see where God said, I'll do good? I'll give them a new heart. I'll give them a heart to know me. Oh no, I tell you, they didn't return because they didn't receive the blessing because they returned. I tell you, it was God. It was God who was favoring them. It was God who was changing their heart. Was this a free will decision for them to do better now? No, it was bringing them into captivity. It was a work of God, and God changed and turned their heart. And friend, they wanted to follow God with a wholeheartedness now. You see, it's a work of God. Over and over and over again, it's a work of God.
Don't forget where we came from. God help us not to forget where we came from. Because if it had not been for the Lord, I believe I'll read that. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like Gomorrah. You know what happened there? Absolute, complete destruction. Help us, O Lord, he says this. Hearken. Listen to me, he says. Listen to me. I want you to look back to where you came from. The reason, if you're saved today, the reason you're saved is because there was a work of God done in you. Thank God for his wonderful work.